Hey, I wanted to thank Mike for teaching the past couple of weeks. That was awesome, and I appreciate that. Today is the last class on our survey of Paul's letters. In a few minutes, we will look at 2 Timothy, which is Paul's final letter. Our theme has been from Galatians 3:28, that we are all one. Or Paul is addressing us. He says, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Our goal has been to talk about racial and ethnic and cultural divisions that we face in our society and in our own church, and how Paul's teaching helps us overcome them and be one in Christ Jesus. What I would like to do right here at the beginning of the class is to take a few minutes for discussion and just focus on, you tell me, what's the number one thing you learned from the class? What affected you the most? What scripture, what insight from all that we've done over the past several weeks is the number one thing for you?
I think the big takeaway for me was that we cannot allow the world to influence how we think in the church.
Okay. Can't allow the world to influence our thinking. Amen. To focus on what the Bible says, how we should think. Amen. Who else? Peter.
I think just the idea that if we stop and talk about things with each other, that that's very powerful. Not that we have to solve all the problems, but to talk about and present and understand one another's point of view is an amazing thing.
Amen. So talking and understanding each other, not leaving it unsaid. You know, under the surface, undercurrent, but just talking about it. Yes, sir?
I would say just learning about other people's perspectives, because in your own mind, you have an idea how things, quote unquote, should be, but there's a lot of different ways it can be. And to see other people's perspective, it just kind of helps you to think outside of your particular box.
That's right. It can be uncomfortable, right? You're so used to thinking your way and maybe only talking with people who think your way. But then to recognize there are other points of view right here in the church. Our brothers and sisters, that's thank you, that's awesome. Who else? Hopefully y'all learned some things from the class. Barbara.
Along with that, just bearing with each other, you know, allowing that people time to sort through things and just wait and help and just listen, be there.
Amen. Yeah. Sometimes it is hard, right? You know, we might have to bear with one another because we don't see eye to eye on certain things that happen. Amen. Right. So we've got to, yeah, we don't know what the other person has really experienced. And sometimes it takes some listening to get that. Mike.
Just realizing that, you know, most times our goal is to win. And our goal should be to honor God.
Okay. That's certainly true of me. I want to win the argument. I want to win the discussion, win the point, score the victory. But yeah, no, the goal is to give glory to God.
To be mindful that our commonality in our love of God and our forgiveness that we receive in Christ is bigger than our differences that we have with our opinions and maybe worldly.
Amen. That's powerful. What we have in common far exceeds the things that try to divide us. Bill.
I think the thing that I've learned the most is that I've got to really check myself, because if we let our opinions and viewpoints go too far, it can be really dangerous. And so I just have to check myself. And as we talked about in one class, to keep it between me and God before I hurt or destroy something.
Amen. Who taught that class? You did. Amen. Carol.
Yeah. think just to always remember that, you know, Jesus has already destroyed the barriers, and we are now one in Christ. And so we can then feel that way and really work towards, you know, constantly becoming one, which, you know, honors God.
Amen. Jesus did it. Jesus already created the unity. We don't have to create it, really. We just have to keep it and not let it slip away. Anybody else? Mr. Smith.
I was just talking the other night. Made a good point about when you're perspective matter. If you're determining what that other person is thinking about you, and let that interfere with what you think about them, the prejudice part of the whole thing. So I think that hit the point pretty good. You know, you can't react.
Right. Can't react before you get to know the person. You can't let a preconceived notion or a prejudice, you know, color what you think. You have to hear them and get to know them. Yes, ma'am.
So I've had some open conversations with someone of a different race than myself, and I ended up offending them, and they shared it with me later, and I didn't get it at all. I was like, I don't get why that hurts your feelings. And so I just decided to listen and learn, just listen and let them explain. And we got to the root of it. And I just sought to understand instead of to be understood. Like, why? You know, I wanted to defend myself, you know, but I just decided to listen. And it helped so much to hear them out.
Amen. Amen. That, you know, that can be it. The visceral reaction is, and then just sometimes it is. It's hard to get it. It's hard to understand.
Understand others and not letting the differences impact the potential relationships we can have.
Amen. Just always conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of Christ. Amen. Any more? Yes, sir. Amen. We've got to keep working at it, because letting God work. Amen. Okay. Well, I appreciate all those comments. We've got to move on. As I mentioned, someone, I think Carol already alluded to it, the scripture that meant the most to me was Ephesians 2:14, that Jesus destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. You know, by his blood on a cross, he gives us peace, he gives us reconciliation with God and with each other. We are one new person in Christ, fellow citizens in the kingdom of God, and members of God's household. We are family. You know, brothers and sisters are not just a convention. That's what we really are. God has made us that way. And as a couple of people have said, you know, these spiritual realities transcend the things that want to pull us apart in our society. Amen? Amen. Okay, well, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we will close out with the book of 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison for the second time. You know, he had been in prison before. He was freed. He wrote a couple of the other letters. And then he was arrested again, went back to prison, and this prison resulted in his execution. And the last letter he wrote is 2 Timothy. It's his final words that we have. And he's passing the torch to Timothy, his protege, his number one guy, he's passing the torch to the generation, to the future generation, to the leaders of the future. That's what he's doing in the letter. So, Jermaine, can you read for us 4:1-5? Amen. Thank you. Okay. Familiar passage to many of us. Paul says, preach the word. You know, he says, in view of God, in view of Christ, in view of his appearing, in view of his kingdom, you know, all these important things, we have to preach the word. We have to hang on to the Bible and proclaim that, right? Everything we were talking about, the scriptural principles that we've learned in this class, we have to hold on to those. When things happen, right, we have to hold on to those. He says, with great patience and careful instruction. And he says the time is coming. Well, I think the time has come when men no longer put up with sound doctrine. You know, they gather around them people to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And that's certainly true in our society. It's true in the religious world, but it's true in society in general. People only want to listen to people that they agree with, right? They only want to listen to people that will reinforce their own view. And our society is just so full of hatred and hostility. So many people around us are ruled by their feelings and their passions, anger, dissension, factions, envies, and the like. And as it says here, we have to keep our head, right? We have to keep our head in all situations. We can't let those things, you know, throw us off. You know, get us wrapped up in the same kind of stuff. We have to keep our head and stay focused on God's word. In my translation, it says sober-minded, right? You have to be serious about God's word and not let the things that might be going on that are crazy throw you for a loop. And then, you know, Paul encouraged, and we have to endure. Sometimes it's hard. He says endure suffering. Sometimes it's hard. And we have to do what God calls us to do. Timothy was an evangelist. He was charged with certain ministry duties. And Paul is telling him to carry that out. And we are too. All of us who are disciples of Jesus, he's given us things to do. And that's what we need to be focusing on, doing what God wants us to do, proclaiming Jesus is Lord. Right? Again, through the cross, he destroyed the hostility that's in the world. He's reconciled us. He's made us one family. One people, one kingdom. We are one in Christ Jesus. You know, these are the things we have to hold on to when things in the world happen. Okay, let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Mr. Smith, Gary Grubb, is going to read chapter 2, verses 1-8. Amen. Okay. Paul encourages Timothy to be strong in the grace. And that's a lot about what we've been talking about. We've got to remain anchored in God's grace, in the good things that he's given us. Amen? He encourages Timothy to raise up new leaders. And that's what Paul had done with Timothy, and he wants Timothy to pass it on. And we always need to be doing that. We need to be raising up new leaders, young folks who can carry, pass the torch to continue preaching the word in the future. He encourages Timothy to endure hardship. We just talked about that. And he tells Timothy not to get involved in civilian affairs. On Saturday, July 13, 2013, George Zimmerman was acquitted of the murder of Trayvon Martin. On Sunday, July 14, 2013, I stood before the church on this stage and made some remarks about that event, and Richard prayed. I don't recall exactly what I said, but I may have quoted this verse and urged us not to become entangled in civilian affairs. So first and foremost, let me apologize if my remarks that day or any other day have suggested that the leadership of this church is unwilling to discuss with any member of this church anything that happens in our society. Awful things happen in our society, like they did in Charlottesville a couple of weeks ago. And I am confident and can speak for every leader in this church is always willing to talk with any member of this church about disturbing things like that. That's what we are here for, to show compassion for one another, to mourn with those who mourn, to, as we've talked about, to listen and understand each other, to provide support, to help each other be like Jesus even when it's hard. And so I hope that, especially just speaking personally for me, that anyone would feel willing at any time to talk to me about anything. Okay. In addition to private conversations, you know, the leaders of this church are willing to publicly discuss these matters of racial, ethnic, and conflict in our society and look to the Bible for answers. That's been the purpose of this class, to address this topic head on. We've also scheduled a weekend, November 3rd through 5th, with Michael Burns. He's a teacher from Minneapolis who recently wrote an excellent book on this topic called Crossing the Line. You can get that from IPI Publications. It's a great book, and I recommend it to anyone who wants to go deeper on the topic we've been talking about this summer. Obviously, we weren't able to cover everything, but there's a lot of stuff in that book. It's very scripturally based. He himself, you know, has been very involved in thinking and wrestling with these issues. So we're going to bring him here. You get to see him in person, but if you're interested, I would urge you to read the book before he comes. So, we have to return to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, and we have to decide, what does that verse mean? No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him, his commanding officer. Paul uses the analogy of Timothy as a soldier who must please his commanding officer, please the one that enlisted him in the army. You know, I think it's pretty obvious. The army here is referring to the kingdom of God, right? It's referring to becoming a disciple of Jesus and being a part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is our commanding officer. Jesus is Lord. In verse 8, it says, remember Jesus. That's who Paul is talking about. That's who we serve. So what does civilian affairs mean? Well, in this context, it must mean anything that doesn't please Jesus, right? Anything that distracts us or calls us away from serving in the kingdom of God, accomplishing Jesus' purposes. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's contrasting what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. You know, clearly, God wants the kingdom of God to take priority of those things, right? over what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. I mean, obviously we have to earn a living. The Bible commands us to do that. But it can't take priority over the priorities of Jesus, right? The thing Jesus wants us to do have to take a priority over earning a living. So I think those would obviously be civilian affairs. In Matthew 13, verse 22, in the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, and that can choke out the word of God, the message of God, the message of the kingdom. So I think those are other things that can distract us, can be civilian affairs. When we get too wrapped up in the worries of this life and we're not as focused on God, His word, His kingdom, His priorities. I'm probably behind here. Okay. And then in 2 Timothy 2, in the rest of the chapter, Paul warns us about some other things that don't please our commanding officer. Verse 14, he says, charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Verse 16 says, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Not sure exactly what irreverent babble is, but I don't want to do it. And then in verse 23, he says, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel or must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may grant them repentance, may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured to do his will. Okay. Raise your hand if you've seen any arguments or quarrels on the internet or in the news. Yeah, and the rest of you, I'm not sure what you've been doing with life, but you know, you think about what are the topics, you know, what are the topics usually about? You know, obviously politics, other kinds of social issues. I even got sports up there. You know, and there are whole TV shows devoted to arguing, right? That's the whole point of the TV show, is they get a panel of people to get up there and argue, right? And, you know, maybe on the shows on the left side, they get, you know, three left-wingers and one right-winger. And then on the shows on the right side, they get three right-wingers and one left-winger. But they still argue, right? They still argue. That's the whole point. And you know, if you're watching this show, the whole point is to rile you up, right? I can't believe they said that. You know, that's the whole point. The whole point of the show is to make us quarrelsome, right? Quarrelsome. But what does Paul say? He says, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. So it does not please our commanding officer when we quarrel, when we argue, when we engage in controversies. Now, there are controversies, and we can have an opinion, but Paul's talking about, you know, when you get into the argument, like Mike was saying earlier, when you're trying to win, right? When you get into the battle, into the fray. And I certainly enjoy doing this. So this, I'm preaching to me right now. But I believe we have to stop. You know, we have to stop quarreling and arguing. You know, if we're doing it. I was going to say raise your hand if you've actually done it yourself. You know, but you know if you've been on the internet quarreling and arguing with people, you know. You know that. So we've got to stop. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. You know, we are becoming involved in civilian affairs when we're doing that. You know, he said, doesn't please our commanding officer. Instead, what does he say? He says we must be kind to everyone. That's hard when you start thinking about who everyone includes, right? Doesn't leave anyone out. We have to be kind to everyone, not resentful, you know, not getting upset because they said something really bad. You know, even if it's offensive, it's like we can't quarrel. It may well be it's offensive. It's ungodly what they said, but we still shouldn't be quarreling. And it even says here, if they are captured by Satan to do his will. Okay, they are captured by Satan. Paul is acknowledging that's what's going on. The people opposing Timothy, they're captured by Satan to do his will. But he calls Timothy to be gentle. That's what he calls Timothy to do. This is one of my hardest scriptures. I go to this scripture a lot because this is not me. You know, I don't want to be gentle when someone is captured by Satan to do his will. I want to beat on him, you know. But that's what it says to do. That's what it says to do. Verse 22, if we back up to verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So we got the dove up there. We've got to pursue peace, you know, and love, you know, righteousness, being faith. That's our goal, to pursue peace. You know, that's what makes us a light to the world. And that's what makes us a city set on a hill, different from the people around us, right, when we do that. Now, I know this can be challenging, okay? It's challenging for me. I know there are matters that deeply concern us that go on, okay? Things that are matters of conscience, we have strong convictions about, you know, things that trouble us. Certainly, I think all Christians can agree white supremacy is evil and wrong. We are all created in the image of God. Jesus died for everyone. The kingdom of God is open to all nations. We can all agree on that. That's in the Bible. There's nothing, no ambiguity there. As Mike read last week, we should also pray and respect the governing authorities. Pray for them, not slander them. Shannon, I thought I was going to ask her for permission, so I didn't get to. But Shannon had a great prayer on the internet this week for the president. So I thought that was awesome. And I know that can be hard to do, pray for a president you don't like. But that's what the Bible calls us to do, right? But many other things in the news, they're matters of opinion, right? I mean, we might feel very, very strongly about them. But then again, someone over here might feel very, very strongly in a different way. Right, so there are many things that are matters of opinion. They're not directly covered by scriptures, and that's where we have to respect each other. You know, Paul's class on Romans, the second class especially that he alluded to, that's what it talked about. How do you deal with matters of opinion, even matters of conscience? You know, matters that you feel very deeply about. You know, but maybe the other brother or sister in Christ doesn't share your opinion, has a different opinion, maybe even feels as strongly as you do in a different direction. We have to respect each other. Romans 14:19 says, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And that's in the context of a difference of opinion on a matter of conscience. You know, our goal is still peace. Our goal is still mutual edification. Our goal is still to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that takes priority over our opinions. Even though our opinions, I'm not saying our opinions are wrong or bad, they might be fine, but they can't take priority over our relationships in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we close out this class. Let's talk about injustice. How should we respond to injustice? Isaiah 42 prophesies the Messiah and the coming kingdom of God would bring forth justice. In Matthew 23, Jesus criticized the Pharisees for neglecting justice. And certainly the kingdom of God must stand for justice. And we in the kingdom of God should always treat people with justice. But what do we do as a church with evil people who promote injustice? Should the church seek to change society and actively oppose evil people who promote injustice? My answer is that we have to do what Jesus taught us to do. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. So, what do we do with evil people? Jesus said we don't resist them. He says that if they hit us, we let them hit us again. He says we don't respond to violence with violence. We don't respond to hate with hate. We love them. We pray for them, no matter who they are, no matter what they are saying or doing. These are hard teachings. These are the hardest teachings of all time. But that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means to be a good soldier in the kingdom of God. We can't join with groups that advocate violence, even in response to evil. Jesus calls us to be different. People who reject violence, people who reject retaliation. Instead, we love and pray for all people. Even evil people, enemies who hate us, those captured by Satan to do his will. That's what makes us the kingdom of God. The light of the world, the city set on a hill. Through the cross, Jesus destroyed the hostility in the world. He reconciled us to God and to each other and made us family, brothers and sisters. We are all one in Christ Jesus.